chapter 3, we're going to read verses 13 to 18. This is our 11th study in the book of James. I hope you are being encouraged and getting a lot out of this book. It's a short one, but filled with a lot of good things for us to know about. In James 3, beginning at verse 13, it says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." That word conversation has to do with behavior or conduct or the manner of life. "But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." In the Old Testament book of Proverbs, which we have referred to many times in our message in James and, of course, other messages, it's a very unique and important book in our Bible. But in the Old Testament book of Proverbs, we are encouraged to seek wisdom. Let's just look at a couple of them, if we could, please. Let me mark this, my Bible. Go back to, first of all, Proverbs chapter 3. Let's start right there. Proverbs chapter 3, and we want to look at verse number 13. Proverbs 3:13. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." Verse 18, "She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her." Then look also at chapter 4 and verse number 7. "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." And in the New Testament, we are exhorted to walk in wisdom. So let's go back to the New Testament. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 5. And we want to look at a couple of verses there, starting at verse number 15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? Wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Let me read that one again. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." A lot of things to assimilate there, isn't it, and to contemplate on. Wisdom was an important thing to the Jewish people. It should be important to all of us, but especially to the Jewish people. They realized that it was not enough to have knowledge. You had to have wisdom to be able to use that knowledge correctly. In James 3, 13 to 18, which we already read, we learn that there is more than just one kind of wisdom. And in this lesson today, we're going to take a look at what James describes as two different kinds of wisdom. There is heavenly wisdom, and there is earthly wisdom. Now, in this discussion, in discussing these two, James does so by making several contrasts. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to make several contrasts. So follow after with me closely. We have the outline up here for you, so it'll make it a little bit easier. The first contrast is this. Contrast in their origin. Contrast in their origin. Earthly wisdom, in verse 15 of the passage that we read, is man-made wisdom. It is earthly. There's a great deal of knowledge in the world, and we benefit from it. Can't deny that. We benefit from all the knowledge in the world. But there is not much wisdom, unfortunately. We see that just abounding more and more, and it seems to be abound more and more the closer it comes to the Lord's return to call his church out of the world. It just seems to be that way. Man unlocks the secrets of the universe, but he does not know what to do with them. The Bible gives us many examples of the foolishness of man's wisdom. Let's look at a couple of them. Now, we're not going to go into great detail because each one of these that I'm bringing to you is a message or a study within its own that could go on for a couple of weeks. But the first one, when you think of the example of foolishness of man's wisdom, and you have to take this home if you make notes and you have to study it on your own. The building of the Tower of Babel. Foolishness of man, that's for sure. Abraham going to Egypt when famine came to Canaan. Foolishness, really. Study it out. King Saul. Now, here's one for you. Brother Dan brought this out in his message a couple weeks ago. This is foolish. And this is man's wisdom. King Saul putting his armor on little David. Really, didn't make any sense, and it didn't take long for David to figure out, this ain't going to work. The disciples thought sending the crowd away instead of and let them find their own food was the right thing to do. What did Jesus do? He used that opportunity to teach them, hey, they're here, they're hungry. By the time they get back to where they can get food, they're going to fall over from exhaustion. We'll feed them right here. Man's wisdom and compared to God's wisdom. Any person who thinks man's wisdom is something wonderful should read the first two chapters, and this again would be another study in its own. They should read the first two chapters of 1 Corinthians. And I'm specifically pointing out 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 to 31, and chapter 2, verses 9 to 16. Go home this week and read it on your own. In those passages, we read what Paul has to say about God's wisdom and man's wisdom. He says, man's wisdom is foolishness to God, and God's wisdom is foolishness to man. What's one example of that? Man thinking that we came out of a slime pit instead of being created. How stupid can you be? And that's why they have to use the millions and billions of years in order to make this all happen over a long period of time. And anybody in their right mind, I'm sorry, can figure out that that is just plain stupid. Every time they come up with something like that, somewhere down the road, it is proven to be foolish. I gave the illustration of the missing link. National Geographic spending page after page presenting this to the public. And then it was found out to be a hoax and not true at all. They had to let people know that they had to correct that. But instead of using pages and pages to correct, they put it near the back, and it was in a paragraph about that big. We made a mistake. Here, we want to make it right. Well, Also in that passage in Corinthians, man's wisdom comes from reason. God's wisdom comes from revelation. You know how I know that God created man? Well, God tells us in his word. He has revealed it. He has preserved his word all of these hundreds and thousands of years to show us. Do you believe? Do you accept God's revelation, God's word? It never fails. Never fails. There's no contradiction in this. There's no error, unless it's a typographical error. After all, man did have to print this, you understand. He even is the one that added the verses, but it's still God's word, and God in his sovereignty has seen fit to preserve it. Make sure you got a good one that man hasn't perverted. Careful there, too. Man's worldly wisdom will come to nothing. God's wisdom will endure forever. How many of you like, now this is not a trick question, how many of you like the house where you live or you rent or you like the car that you have, you like the clothes on your back? Come on, raise your hand. Come on, everybody ought to put your hand up there. You need help, we'll come back and help you. You know, we like that, but you know what? One day it's all going to be gone. It's all going to be gone. And how many of you enjoyed the good health that you do have? We all do now. We enjoy that. But sometimes we get, anybody have ache and pain? I got aches and pains, you know, okay. One of these days that's going to be gone, because we're going to have glorified bodies and we'll be with Christ for eternity, serving him. No more aches, no more pain, no more paying taxes on them beautiful homes that we have. Won't have to trade the car in every 20 years. You know, if you're like me, you keep it till the wheels fall off. And, you know, won't have to worry about any of that. How about that? That's wonderful. Man's worldly wisdom will come to nothing. God's wisdom will endure forever. We said in this contrast, earthly wisdom is man-made. We said it was earthly. It's also sensual. Man's wisdom is sensual. Appealing to the senses, the emotions, the passions. Wisdom according to what feels right. But that doesn't make it right. Just because man in his earthly wisdom has said it is okay, and they even put it in the law, it is okay to murder children even up to the day that it's delivered, is not right because they put it into a law. It is still, according to God's revelation, murder. By the way, the president that we still have, did he attempt to take the funding away from Planned Parenthood? Didn't have any success. Wouldn't it be great if they took that money away from Planned Parenthood and put it into proper and truly people who were concerned about children, and put it into places that were looking to adopt children out to women who couldn't have children? Boy, I wouldn't mind my tax dollars going for that. No. But it goes for murdering children. Earthly, sensual wisdom of man. It's demonic. It's demonic. The kind of wisdom possessed by the devil and his angels. A wisdom that often finds its origin in the influence of Satan himself, the prince of this world. Heavenly wisdom, in contrast, is from above. It's from God, according to verse 17. It comes from God. It comes by prayer. Look at James 1:17. We already covered that. What does it say, James 1:17? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Also, it comes, we said, by prayer. Look at, again, James 1. This time, look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's revelation from God. God's wisdom. I believe it's important at knowing the origin or source of each kind of wisdom ought to encourage us to select the right one. Select the right one where you get your wisdom. Man or God? It makes a difference. Contrast number two, a contrast in their nature. Contrast in their nature. Earthly wisdom, verses 14, 16, full of bitter envy, possessing self-seeking in the heart. This wisdom emphasizes the qualities as power, position, and privilege. I don't know the hearts of all people, that's for sure. God does. But I suspect that not all government officials really, deep down in their heart, are concerned as much with your health as they are in controlling power and making you do what they want you to do. There's a difference. There's a difference. I'm sure some might have legitimate concern, and I certainly hope that that's so, but some I don't believe do. It was this kind of wisdom that prompted Satan and his angels to rebel against God. What did Satan say? I will be like the Most High God. What was he saying? I know better than him. I know I can do a better job. That prompted the disciples to argue. That even prompted this idea of power, position, and privilege. That even prompted the disciples one day. Not all of them, but some of them. Then they all got involved with it. Who would be the greatest in the kingdom? Well, even some of the boys' mother got involved with that. Now, Jesus, these boys are the best thing that were ever created. And I'm their mother. I ought to know. And boy, I just know that they're going to do a great job for you. And if you could just find a very high position in your kingdom, they would do a great job for you. See how man also is influenced? The same ideas as Satan. Well, now the contrast, heavenly wisdom, verse 17, which is spoken of. It is first pure. That pure would seem it would be pure motives too. It's pure. Above all else, it's true to God's will. What do I always tell people when they come to this church and sometimes we get visitors from time to time. Some of them are looking for churches. Some of them are just passing through. I always tell them, you know, if you're interested in staying in this place, well, get to know us. If that takes you a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, you know, get to know us. And if you think you can serve the Lord here, then get both feet and both hands in it and serve the Lord. And whatever your gift is and that we can use it here, we'll use it to serve him. Yet busy serving the Lord. Then it also, this heavenly wisdom, it is peaceable, holding firm the truth, it makes every effort to be at peace. Speaking the truth in an attitude of love, gentle. In other words, being kind in dealing with others. You know, we all have to practice that, especially now. The closer we get to November, we have to practice, you know, being gentle. I mean, my neighborhood has got all kinds of signs up, if you understand what I'm saying. I haven't put any up yet in my front yard. I don't know if I'm going to. I don't know if I want to replace any windows. But anyway, I think everybody knows my position on a lot of things. They like to talk to me. Oh, by the way, what do you think of this, Tom? Are you sure you want to know? Yeah, okay. Well, let's gently sit down here and talk about it. And of course, that gentle means not harsh, even when right. Even when you're right and you're dealing with those who are different. Be gentle. Let me see. I don't know if I have this reference right. But let me turn to it first, and then I'll check it out, and I have you turn to it. I think, you know, sometimes my computer makes a mistake. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, here we go. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. Who was laughing over there? Was that Brenda laughing? Oh, that was you. Okay. Brenda laughs at me about my computer experience, too. She rolls her eyes, too, sometimes. Look at that. Okay. 2 Timothy 2, 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto how many men? All men. In fact, that men is in italics. That was put in by the translators. So really, that covers everybody, men and women. Okay? Be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. It says here, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Well, there's a sense in which we are instructing people. By the way, I do not only provide this information for you, I carry some of that with me, and when somebody says, hey, do you know about such and such a thing? It just so happens I have something here for you that you can educate yourself about. Oh, thank you. And sometimes, in a very gentle and patient way, and maybe I don't see that person for another week or maybe a half a week, said, you know what? I didn't know those things. That isn't what we have been told. I didn't know that. Now they pass that information on to others. You know how we can change a nation or a state or a city? One person at a time. You know what our job is here, really, that we're left here on earth, that once we're saved, we're not taken out of here. That'd be beautiful. Get saved and then you go home and be with the Lord. He keeps us here for a purpose, to witness to others, to be salt, to be light, to be an example. How you making out? Willing to yield, not in matters of truth, but maybe in matters of opinion or in matters of liberty. Romans 14:1. We won't have time to turn to it. You look at that in your own. And Romans 14:19-21. That spells out a lot of those things concerning matters of opinion and liberty. Full of mercy. Quick to forgive the offenses of others. Wisely understanding one's own need of mercy. God's been very merciful to us. We need to be merciful to others. Producing good fruits. Notice verse 13, where it says we are to show by our conduct our true wisdom and understanding. This wisdom takes one beyond being a hearer to being a doer. What did we emphasize in James chapter 1, the very beginning? James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know the truth. Put it into practice. Do it. Don't just think it, read it, do it. Do what you need to do. You need to write to a senator or representative? Do it. You need to write to the governor? Do it. You say, well, I may not read it. That's all right. You're all right. You do your part. You do your part. Without partiality, showing no respect of persons. Again, I refer you to James chapter 2. We already studied it. James 2, verses 1 to 13. Read it again if you forgot. Rather, treating all people fairly on the same basis. And, of course, without hypocrisy. That means that all of the above is not an act or a show, but it's out of a desire in your heart to do God's will. And then we come to the contrast in their fruits. Contrast in their fruits. Earthly wisdom, verse 16, causes confusion and every evil thing. Heavenly wisdom, verse 18, produces peace instead of confusion. Bears the fruit of righteousness instead of every evil thing. Let's tie it up. Let's wrap it up here. Conclusion. Certainly, when we compare this origin, nature, and fruits, the wisdom that is to be preferred is heavenly wisdom. If you're a child of God, if you're a believer, you don't have any choice except to follow the wisest thing, the heavenly wisdom. So, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of wisdom do we have? Those who have earthly wisdom boast of theirs, according to verse 14. While those who have heavenly wisdom show theirs by their good conduct done in meekness. After all, if you're wise, it didn't come from you in the first place. It came from God. So give him the honor and the glory. What kind of wisdom do you have? Earthly? Well, no effort is necessary for that. Just follow the crowd. Just do what the world tells you. Just do what feels right. But if heavenly, then we must diligently seek such wisdom from God. And when we do, it'll be demonstrated in our conduct, how we walk on this earth. Earthly wisdom makes no response to the gospel. Or if any, it's only when it's convenient. Even politicians who don't come close to even pretending to be Christians know how to quote scripture. So's the devil. Heavenly wisdom receives the commands of the gospel and joyfully and obediently obey God's revelation. Look at Acts 2 and we're done. In case you're wondering when we're going to be done, now you know. Acts 2. Verse 37. This was brought out in a message here some time ago by Brother Dan. Acts 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The wisdom of God compared to the wisdom of man, I'll choose God's way. I'll choose His revelation over man's ideas. Let's pray.